We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Well, hello, this is Kay Ballard, and today is a very big day because not only is it National Radio Day, but we have a guest that so many of you have been waiting to hear from. You see, in New England, where our guest is from, there is a huge contingent of social media. It's a very big deal in New England. And I was observing this, and I couldn't help but notice that the women in social media there, who were truly prominent, this is my theory anyway, they named themselves after nuts. Okay, so we had pistachio. Everyone knows pistachio. And then we have today's guest, and everyone knows her. So I took this theory and did a little research on Twitter and looked for the other women in social media in New England who took the name of nut. So I put in Brazil nut and walnut and soy nut, and I really didn't come up with anything. So I sort of proved my own theory wrong, except for the fact that we do have at Little Pecan, and she's here today, and she's going to answer every kind of question that I can put to her. First of all, I want to know, and I know you do too, how and why she developed her famous Little Pecan brand. I also want to know, and she's going to have to come up with an answer, does her brain ever get tired? And then, related to a new career opportunity that Little Pecan is pursuing, I want to ask her to help me. How can I be fake rich? So, yes, we have today, as our guest on Women Are Not Funny, we have Lil Pecan at Lil Pecan, Emma Devlin. Emma, I'm so happy you're here, but before we get started, there's something I have to know. Are you using your appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone to something better?
I certainly hope so.
Emma, that's unkind. That's totally unkind. Okay, well, that's fine, because that leads me into a segment that I designed especially for you and your appearance today. It's a little segment that I call Kind of Hard on People, Aren't You, Darling?
What?
That's the name of the segment. So here's the bill of particulars. Emma, you seem to have a thing about spelling. You want people to spell well. You want them to spell right. You want them to get it right. You want them to know the difference between weary and wary.
Yes.
Well, kind of hard on people, aren't you, darling?
No, I just want to understand what they are saying.
Well, I couldn't help but notice a tweet of yours recently where you were kind of hard on people, darling. You said you were reading the newspaper and getting cranky, that many humans disgust you.
Yes. I'm not helping you much, am I?
No, well, but you know what? You're helping me. It's fine with me because you know how I love the sound of my own voice. But it's the listeners. It's the listeners, Emma, who are disappointed, not me. Oh, goodness, no. Okay, so there was this time almost 2 years ago. It's really more like a year and a half ago. I should know exactly because I've been quoting you ever since. You determined that it was perfectly fine to call a woman a dude as long as it were spelled D-E-W-D.
That's correct. Unfortunately, that has not taken off too well.
Well, it's a miracle it hasn't because I've been pushing it forward constantly. You know,
I've noticed.
I had the experience. I think when this came about, I had the experience of being called dude for the first time, and it was by Deb Pachala, who actually has 3 sons and a husband. So, you know, theory has it she was just accustomed to calling everyone dude. But for me, it was a novel experience, and then you came up with this kind of solution to through the spelling make it a little more acceptable. And I mean, ever since, I just can't be called dude enough. Okay, so not only are you the czar of spelling, but you seem to get into the punctuation too. I mean, didn't you recently suggest that it become official, the punctuation that would be a question mark followed by an exclamation point?
Absolutely. I think that should go into the element of style, the elements of style. Then someone had to point out to me that both Strunk and White are deceased, but I still think they're listening.
Well, and that makes me like them better because they're way less, you know, trouble. They're just low maintenance once they die.
Well, how are they going to argue with me, really?
No, that is so true. I mean, I think a lot of times, here we go, kind of hard on people, aren't you, darling? This was a recent tweet, Emma. You kind of throw down the gauntlet. You do this all the time. I've been watching you do this for years. You say to everyone in your Twitter stream, relatives of mine spread the Black Death, yet 3,500 of you follow me. How silly do you feel now?
I don't believe that was me. I think that was Pecan. There is a difference.
Well, that is something that we need to discuss because I'm a little concerned. I am a little concerned. I seem to attract people to the show, both listeners and guests, who have multiple personality disorders.
Are you accusing me of that, Kay?
I don't know. I just need to get a handle on it, darling, and I think all of the listeners do too. People who know you, love you, follow you, or are simply curious about you. Who is who and what is what? Who is Pecan? And also, how do you pronounce yourself? How does Pecan say her own name? Is it Pecan or Pecan? Because today Rudimentary tweeted that either pronunciation was good.
Pecan answers to Pecan, but she also answers to Pecan. And somebody had sent me a link to this, to some site that pointed out that Pecan is a Indian word, and it actually is supposed to be pronounced Pecan. But I understand that a lot of people in the South pronounce it Pecan, so she will also answer to Pecan.
So we have Pecan, Pecan, and we have Emma Devlin. Do the two of them ever become confused?
On occasion they do. But they've got very different personalities.
Well, they absolutely do. But here is my observation. Tell me I am wrong, if you dare, and I'm not. it appears to me that the moment people start to get close to you in social media, you remind them that you are not a person. You are a guinea pig.
Well, I am a person.
Mm-hmm.
And is a rodent. Unfortunately,
right.
Duquesne often forgets she's a rodent, even though she does tend to remind people.
Well, she does. And she does at just the oddest moments. You know, it's kind of like the ultimate excuse. Which of the two, Pecan or Emma, was nervous about today?
Neither.
Okay.
Well, Emma was a little nervous when the phone in number you gave me was incorrect.
Yeah, that's something... That's something I do with great frequency just to kind of, you know, even the score, keep the guests off base, that kind of thing. But one of the things that you mentioned is that you were afraid you might clam up. And I thought that since I'm just lousy on the radio all the time and have a lot of experience at it, I'd give you a couple of hints. Would you like that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Who wouldn't?
I agree with that. You know, I am kind of struck by my own generosity. Okay, here's one. This one works every time. You can say, let's say I ask you a question and you don't care for it, or you don't really have an answer. You can say, actually, and you could call me by name if you wanted to, actually, Kay, and then you could pause. Long pause. I don't care for that question. See,
okay.
That works really well. That work, don't you think that works really well? It's almost brilliant, isn't it? To say, actually, Kay, I don't care for that question. It's perfect.
The only thing that exceeds your brilliantness is your adorableness. I think everyone's aware.
Yeah,
I think everyone's aware of that.
I would hope so. Another one is, and this works perfectly, do you have a story? Do you have any sort of story? Any story?
Sorry, I'm out.
Okay. Then this may not work because, and I'm surprised, I would just think you would have a story because what you do, Emma, is you say, I ask a question. You don't care for the question. You say, Kay, do you mind if I tell you a story? I know you have stories. You know why? Because there are constantly traffic incidents that take place in front of your house. People park weird. You have stories about bad parking.
But Pecan's got even better stories because of her modified big wheel. She's always getting in trouble with that.
You know what? I was under supreme instruction not to mention anything about a wheel.
No. She gets offended about people talking about a wheel in her cage because she's the wrong type of rodent. Guinea pigs don't run on wheels, but she does have a modified big wheel that she uses to get around.
Mm-hmm.
But guinea pigs don't.
It seems to me, and this is just, you know, once again, an observation. I could be wrong. But it seems to me that Pecan, and it's very difficult for me to call her that because I did grow up in Texas and we do say pecan. But it seems like to me that Pecan has a little bit of resistance for anything that is stereotypical about guinea pigs.
There's nothing stereotypical about Pecan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point.
How many guinea pigs do you know? How many guinea pigs do you know eat bacon?
Well, I have a confession to make. I only know one guinea pig. You know, I'm proud that I know one. You know, and I'm constantly dropping. You know. Sort of name dropping or species dropping and saying, you know, this friend of mine who's a guinea pig, you know, I'm constantly saying that. But actually, she's the only one I know.
and what, how do people respond to that, Kay?
When I tell them about my friend who's a guinea pig?
Yes.
I'm, you know what, I just have, I'm just one of those people who really has so little interest in what other people are thinking
and
doing.
And other people's opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So Emma, how did you meet Pecan?
How did I meet her?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I know you didn't. I know you didn't acquire her, and the way I know that is, she totally resists that notion that she's owned. In fact, she talks about her human. That's what she calls you. She calls you her human. Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that. I follow her on Twitter.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, she's, you know, she talks about her human several times a week, it seems to me.
I kidnapped her from Petco.
Mm-hmm.
I admit it wasn't the kindest thing, but she could have ended up with a five-year-old. So, if you look at it that way.
Well,
not
Emma, she does have you. And
which is pretty much the same, I know.
The thing is, here's another question I have. How would she notice? How would she notice? Pecan tweets like a maniac. Do you know how many tweets that little rodent has tweeted in her young life? Do you have any? Have you paid any attention to that at all?
Who's paying the bills here? Of course, I've paid attention. She's gonna bankrupt us.
It is amazing. It really is amazing. I looked at her Twitter page today, and it's over 70,000 tweets.
Yeah, she's got some issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think she gets really much else done, and in that respect, she's not a lot like you because you do everything. You do everything. Do people know that about you, Emma, that you are literally the DIY queen?
Some do. I think some don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I want to know, is how, because I do believe you are the DIY queen. I just want to know how it's accomplished, how you can look after, and I know she would resent this notion. I know Pecan would not want to consider herself looked after, but how can you look after Pecan with all of her tweeting and still do all of the things that you do?
I have two hands and one smartphone.
Mm-hmm. You like office supplies?
Pardon me?
I just, you know, you can take it as any way you want it. You can take it as a compliment. You can take it as an accusation. You can take it as an observation. I simply said you like office supplies.
Oh, I love office supplies.
Well, there we go. There we go. And you make jelly.
Yes.
And you do tiling.
Yes.
You make your own stationery.
Yes.
Knitting?
No. Crocheting.
Crocheting. Calligraphy?
Yes.
Emma, here's something I do. Let's see if you do it. Do you infuse vinegar?
Yes. And olive oil.
What about this? Calligraphy.
I think you just said that. Yeah.
Well, I'm dumbfounded by it all.
I make jewelry.
Jewelry making. What about?
I sew clothes.
You repainted things.
Yes.
So, Emma, how do you have time to do all those things?
I don't sleep.
I know you don't. But one of the things that you do is you tweet, Pecan tweets, and you do all of this other stuff. It is just amazing. You are a very, let me just say this about you. You can take it any way you want to. I'm just going to say it. I think you're very accomplished.
Why, thank you, Miss Kay.
So what is it that you cannot do?
Knit.
Is there anything else besides knit that you cannot do?
There's a lot of things that I can't legally do,
mm-hmm.
like
okay.
the electrical wiring that I've been doing in my house.
Well, have you been doing that because is there any possibility that you had a need to do that because a certain little rodent might have chewed through some of your electrical wiring?
I would have suspected that if the wiring that I had to do wasn't on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it really wouldn't surprise me that much if she got hold of the ladder.
Well, you know, it goes back to my somewhat failed segment, kind of hard on people, aren't you, darling? You know, we have a dear friend in common, Pecan and I, and that is G. Scott Oliver, at G. Scott Oliver. And Pecan recently tweeted to him,
yes,
I am the social media guinea pig, and I am gnawing your power cord with my uninsulated fangs. She said
yeah,
that, Emma.
I saw that tweet.
You did see that tweet?
Pecan, I don't know if you've noticed, but Pecan's not always appropriate.
Pecan can be so terribly inappropriate. But, you know, she comes out with little platitudes like, you have to make a fool out of yourself to stay humble. Did you see that one?
I did see that one. I think she's right. I think you should make a fool of yourself at least once every day. I'm hoping I'm fulfilling that accomplishment right now.
No, well, here's how Pecan does it, in my opinion. This is just one woman's opinion. I understand that there are people who differ, but I absolutely hate it. In fact, I can hardly bear to say it when Pecan uses the hashtag poop. Do we have to have hashtag poop in her Twitter stream? Do we? I mean, apparently we do. Why is that, Emma? Why do you think that? You know, what's your fascination with
it? What am I going to do about it? She owns that hashtag. I'm not going to rip it away from her.
She definitely owns the hashtag, but I mean, what is it? What is it in her makeup that requires her to drop poop in her stream? Hashtag poop in her stream. What is it about her?
It's a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that when she says poop, it is in reference to excrement. And it's not. It's a gasp of dismay.
Well,
so maybe if you thought of it that way, you would be feel a little better about it.
That is somewhat reassuring. That's a little reassuring. So here's something that I think people really want to know, and it's a dead serious question. At Lil Pecan, it's one of the strongest brands on Twitter. And many people, I among them, think it is pure genius. So tell me, in all seriousness, how did that happen? How and why did you develop your famous brand?
I wish I had a good answer for that. It happened somewhat by accident. As you may be aware, from posts that I've done on my more serious, my more serious blog, I'm very concerned about privacy over the internet. And so tweeting as Little Pecan was my opportunity to participate in social media without going too far out on a ledge as an individual. Is that a satisfactory answer?
Well, I think it's a great answer, and I think it's very interesting because I think, you know, and I'm very private myself, and, you know, some evidence of that is that I use an avatar that is a photo of me, actually. It is an actual photo of me in a cranky mood. But there is something about, particularly when someone starts in social media, I think, that can be a little discomforting. Is that how you would describe it when you got started?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But it's such a Twitter is such a spontaneous medium in social media that you can get caught up in a conversation, and who knows what gets said, and the next thing you know, it pops up on Google. And I think people would be wise to remember that more often.
Well, I suppose so, but, you know, I actually like the fact that people frequently do not self-censor, and it, you know, it certainly makes it interesting. The other thing that makes it fun, and I think it's part of the power of it and why we feel like we know each other so well, and I, by that, I don't simply mean the two of us. I mean those of us who are on Twitter a good bit and who know, you know, who have a lot of friends. We feel like we know those friends because not only do we have conversations with them, but we witness their conversations with others. And that's something you don't do as frequently, I think, in the real world. Not in the same way, at any rate. So I can have a conversation with you, but I can also listen in on a conversation you're having with Scott, or with Lee Osborne, or so many of our different friends. And it's just a real window into our personalities, I think, many times. And even though you're terribly mean to me and never show me any compassion, I see you be compassionate with others, and I think, my, what a lovely person, perhaps.
Perhaps.
I'm teasing you. I'm absolutely teasing you. So, I consider you social media elite, but I know, I happen to know, because we've had conversations about this before, so it's kind of a cheat, I do know that you do not consider yourself that way. Why is that, darling?
I think that it's very important for a person to be humble.
Well, I obviously do too, being adorable and modest. You know, it's just it's just who I am. But I
have to remind myself to be humble.
I think, I think you do perhaps do too good of a job, because I think a lot of times you don't give yourself as much credit as you deserve. And so it's been interesting, because you haven't, even though Boston is a hotbed of social media activity, you haven't so much been out on the speaking circuit, and that kind of surprises me sometimes. But I know that even though you will, on rare occasions, maybe after you've had a few, who knows, you will admit you know something about it, but you never portray yourself that way or put yourself out as a person who is an expert.
I tend to find, or I tend to believe, that people who put themselves out as experts are suspect. I don't think mm-hmm. that anyone can be, at this stage, an expert in social media. It's evolving too rapidly. There's always something new happening with it.
Yeah, but given that, you can make the case that almost anyone can be an expert. So, you know,
I'm an expert.
Well, I tell you what you are. You're lovely. And you had a day this very week where you actually were offline a lot of the day. So what was that like?
Freeing. I actually went out and experienced life.
What did it feel like?
It felt good.
Well, you know, I sent you a link to an article where that was on the web in the last couple of days. I honestly, at the moment, can't remember the source of it. But it was about a team that is doing some research and trying to get it funded on what is the effect of resting one's brain. And they pointed out that it's harder and harder to do when we're online all the time. Would you agree with that?
I think it's nearly impossible at this point, especially when everything is in my left hand right now on a smartphone. I can't go anywhere and not get an email or a text. People know I have it, so even in person, they'll walk up to me and ask me to look something up. So it's nearly impossible at this stage.
Does your brain ever get tired?
Yes.
Well, what do you think is the consequence of that? I mean, this is the crux of it, and this is what we all want to know and don't really want to know. Is all of this making us smarter, or is it making us dumber? Is it really an accomplishment that we can pull up things at a moment's notice, that we can communicate all over the world in real time, or is it just something else to make our brain tired?
I think it depends on the individual. I think that it can be a very good thing depending on what they're keeping their brains active with. I don't think that Farmville qualifies under the heading of something
I am laughing. I'm not a Facebook devotee, as you may know, and so I don't really know anything about Farmville except that it's out there. But how does Pecan feel about that? I mean, isn't it related? The whole, aren't there animals involved? Does she feel any sort of connection to the farm animals in Farmville?
She's offended that Facebook won't allow rodents to participate on Facebook unless they're sanctioned by their humans. And she's adamant that she's not going to let me sponsor her for her Facebook page. She finds that completely insulting.
I hate to bring it up. I really do. But I have no choice. I have a question for you. And you, if you don't like the question, I've already given you an out, a couple of them, on how you can answer it. But is it possible that some of the time Pecan is a little sensitive for her own good?
Well, it's possible. How would place yourself in her paws? Don't you think that rodents get a bad rap? A lot of people are afraid of rodents. In fact, there are some people that are afraid of rodents that the only rodent they'll talk to is Pecan.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure there are.
She feels that there's a duty to try and help these people. But, you know, rodents really get a bad rap. But, yeah, she's a little pudgy.
But here's what I want you to know, and I mean this in all sincerity. Pecan just impresses the hell out of me. I think she's got it together. She's smart. She can be cranky. She is cuddly. She has many talents. She is popular. In fact, she is so popular. Do you know there is an indie band that she is rather fond of, the Pernice Brothers Band, and they have a song about a part, would you call it part of Boston, a Bostonish part of Boston, Somerville, and
yeah.
They said that it was a great thing for us to play it for Pecan today. So we're going to listen to that. This is Somerville by the Pernice Brothers.
I'm sick of a fashion show of vapid and overblown. Someone tells me I ought to know. I wouldn't stay around if the money let me linger on till the end of December. Waste another year like a minute trying to forget, 'cause I remember my home. I left it with bitter words. I go back with cap in hand and launder the bed I made, hurtful things said, pick up where I began. The penny lost its shine, dirty ankles on the promenade, and rubber flip-flops standards. Give me back the rags, the neurotic and the sweet lament, 'cause I can't handle it. I'm gonna take a lover, gonna take her back to Somerville, show around the neighborhood, recase the place and settle down. Gonna take a lover, gonna take her back to Somerville, don't care if she's pretty as we leave Suck City, yeah.
Our listeners should know, and I think it's very cool, that the record company for the Pernice Brothers actually selected that song for you. And you tell me it's a song that you've heard before and one that you love. When I first heard the lyrics, I said, oh, they did pick the perfect song, because it starts out with, sick of the cynical, sick of the fashionable. And I thought, if anything describes both Emma and Lil Pecan, it would be that phrase. And then they start talking about vapid and overblown, and I thought, and they're talking about me. So, so I thought, you know, it's really, really perfect. I have a question for you. You know, this really is a question. It's probably an unfair question. I hope you don't mind. Because I'm going to be asking you on behalf of Lil Pecan, what do you think is the best thing about being a guinea pig? I know you don't know, but what do you think is the best thing about it? She knows, but you don't, right?
Well, she's told me, and I think that what she likes most about being a guinea pig is that people allow her to be a little less filtered than they would allow a human, simply because she's small and cute and fuzzy.
Yeah, she's very cuddly. Well, what is the worst thing? Did she also tell you what is the worst thing about being a guinea pig?
Peru. That's the worst.
Really?
She's got a phobia of Peru. They eat guinea pigs in Peru, you know. She went nuts one week because she had a Peruvian handbag maker following her on Twitter. Mm-hmm. She just hid in her hut for an entire week with my
that
smartphone.
That would be.
Continues to me.
Yeah, that would be awful. You know, that's very threatening, I think. You know, and there ought to be some sort of Twitter app. Your buddy Pistachio ought to be, you know, working on that to have that put together, right?
To block Peruvians? Or to stop them from eating guinea pigs?
Yeah, a four guinea pig application that would block Peruvians from their Twitter stream. It seemed to me, you know, you've heard of technology, right? It's very powerful. I think such a thing is possible.
You've heard of monetization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you think of a way that you could monetize an app for about 10 guinea pigs on Twitter?
Well, you know, since you mentioned monetization, and I'm so glad you did, because there's something we simply must talk about. I have alluded to it in the show notes for this show, and of course, Pecan has tweeted about it. You've tweeted about it a little bit. You are poised to make a serious and exciting career move. And what's that about?
I'm going to be studying for my Series 6. I have to get 63 and 66 exams to become a financial advisor. And I am very excited about it.
Well, you know what? I am as well, because I think there is a real need. And as you and I have discussed, there is always an issue for people when they're looking for a financial planner, and that comes, you know, there's several. One is this financial planner competent, but also is this someone I can trust? Is this someone who's only interested in a sales commission, or is this someone who's going to help me grow my investments? And, you know, I got to thinking about it, and I said, this is a real, real opportunity for Emma. Because there is so much I can help her with. You know, I just want to give you ideas on how to have a successful career doing this. And I think one thing that there's really a market for is for people, and, you know, I don't know exactly how you monetize it, but you're bright and you'll figure it out. I think there is a need for someone to help those of us who are not wealthy to be fake wealthy until we are wealthy. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I've always assumed you were fake wealthy.
I am fake wealthy, but I'm always trying to become more fake wealthy. And, you know, never a time like now, because tonight I'm going to be the guest on a radio show, and it's a wonderful show. I'm very excited about it, but it's called The Wealthy Speaker. And it crossed my mind that perhaps the host, you know, perhaps he's Paul Lawrence Vann, and he's a very dynamic and very charismatic individual. And, you know, why would he invite me to be on the show unless he knows I'm a speaker, and so he thinks I'm a wealthy speaker, so at the very least ought to be a fake wealthy speaker, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So how can I go about being, you know, truly fake wealthy? What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, you should surf the web and find a free app that you can keep track of the stock market on. And then you can find out what stocks are, for the most part, up, and then talk about how you fake own them.
So I could, I'd kind of be like name-dropping companies that were doing well.
Yes, yes.
So I would sort of be connected to them rhetorically.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's good. And I put together a list of things I could do, and that is not on the list, so I will add that right now.
I think you have to add it.
Is there a problem? You know, I think you are aware that after two different smartphones, I have now gone to a stupid phone. Can you buy that kind of app for a stupid phone? That's my question. Also, can you be fake wealthy if you have a stupid phone?
Oh, absolutely. That's what the Wall Street Journal's for.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I think, you know, see if you agree with my list, the things I've come up with. I think one thing that helps you if you're trying to be fake wealthy is a good tan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether it's natural or it's sprayed on.
Sprayed on. Either way, right?
Okay. Either way.
I think talking about Newport is
a
good
thing. Oh,
that's a must. It's really, it's kind of hard to argue against that, you know.
Well, and the vineyard.
The vineyard.
Yeah,
and then,
just the vineyard.
Well, what about this? What about, and see, that's the other thing, though, that I like about Newport, is because it could be Rhode Island or it could be Newport Beach, you know, in the OC. And I think either works, you know.
Yes.
So,
agreed.
Okay, so then how about this? This is a sentence that you can throw out, that I throw out. It's getting so you can't even keep a boat.
Well, Kerry could tell you that, John Kerry.
But don't you think that statement said just that way? I mean, can you not admit there was something, you know, fake elegant about my fake wealthy statement? It's getting so you can't even keep a boat.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Yes.
So, but, you know, one of the things you could do as a financial planner is help people be fake wealthy. But another thing that apparently you have already developed the talent. And I think this is really important. And I travel in these circles. You know, I've been working as a estate planning lawyer for many years and as someone who was active in the field of women in philanthropy. I have worked with a lot of financial planners. And I am ready to state almost, I just can't state it too strongly, my belief that no one else is doing this. What if you were to offer a series of public seminars and public appearances where people could come and you would tell the people in your audience, perhaps women, because I think women are going to be your best source of clients, you could tell them how to do this thing that you have learned how to do, and that is hide money so that it will not be found for 10 years after you die.
If people will pay to listen to me explain that, absolutely.
Emma, don't you think that would be a good thing that would lead to a certain kind of wealth?
That would lead to fake wealth. at least for 9 years and 364 days.
Well, it is, you know, I think people are concerned about how to keep their money secure, how to keep their money unspent, you know. So if you truly know how to do this, and I believed you when you said you did, you know how to hide money so people cannot find it until 10 years after you die. That, Emma, that is special. That's really special.
Well, the only danger of that is if in 10 years after you die, if the U.S. dollar becomes Confederate.
Yeah. Well, there's always that. There is always that. And you also, you know, it just kind of leads me to another observation. Both Emma and Pecan can be a little political in their tweeting.
That's true.
You know, it
yeah,
just happens all the time. It happens all the time. And so I just randomly have some questions. I mean, what's up with cranberries? I know you know about cranberries. You are there in Boston-ish. You grew up on the Cape. Tell people about cranberries.
We're about to have a bumper crop this year because of the
heat. Is that right?
That is correct.
So, Emma, they're grown in bogs, correct?
That's correct.
And how are they harvested? You go in a boat? You go in a like a rowboat in a bog? Is that what you do?
I believe mostly you go in hip waders.
Hip waders.
And I don't know how they do it now, but they used to use a cranberry rake, which was a box, rectangular box. It's open at the front, and it has prongs on it. And you comb it through the cranberries, and it picks up the cranberries and throws them into the bottom of the box. But I'm sure that there's some more technologically advanced way that they do it now.
So having grown up on the Cape, do you like cranberries?
I love cranberries.
Do you like lobster?
I love lobster, although I prefer crab, blue crab. You can go out and catch those yourself on just being on the coast. You don't even have to go out in a boat.
No, well, you know, I have been to the coast before, I must say. And you can have a crab. What are they called? I mean, we do this every time we go to the beach. So it's you have a crab cage,
steak?
Sort of, and a crab trap. It's called a trap. That's what it's called, right? And what about clams? Do you like clams?
I love clams and steamers.
So you know, actually, you're just in the right part of the country for what you love, aren't you?
Yes, I think I was born where I was supposed to be born.
So what do you think comes to people's mind when they hear Cape Cod? What do they think?
Cheap tchotchkes made in China.
Well, you know what? To me, as a child growing up in Texas, I really didn't make it to New England until I was an adult. My family vacationed, but we always headed west. And in fact, I think my father was hopelessly prejudiced against New England, and may still be. But
he wouldn't be alone.
He what? He wouldn't be alone? No, probably not.
He wouldn't be alone, yeah.
No, probably not. But the thing is, to me, it always seemed very, very exotic, and certainly Cape Cod did. But Cape Cod, I think what is interesting to me is Cape Cod is not the mecca of money that I thought it was. You know, it's expensive to live there, and there are certainly some beautiful properties there, but that is not the most, if you're going to be fake wealthy, that is not where you're from, right?
No, I think that if you're going to be fake wealthy, that's exactly where you need to be from.
Yeah, well, so now do I have this right? And, you know, what I'm about to say doesn't in any way imply that I'm any sort of Cape Cod expert. I've only been there a few times, but you grew up in Chatham?
Chatham.
Is that right?
Chatham.
Chatham?
Chatham. Chatham. Yeah, it's not pronounced, the TH is not, it's Chatham.
Interesting. And what was the population when you were growing up there?
Oh, good Lord. Maybe 3,000, maybe.
Yeah. See, this is a thing that I never really understood. They're small. All of those little towns on the Cape are small, and that's why they're called little towns, I suppose. But you have – so where you're living now, you define as Bostonish.
Yes.
Is
it's
that
much large.
You know,
it's
is that – A what radius are we talking about? How far are you from Harvard Square?
I'm actually much closer to Harvard Square than I am to Boston proper, to you know, Government Center or Beacon Hill. I'm 15 minutes away from 10 or 15 minutes away from Harvard Square.
So, you know, Bostonish is also a financial center, and there are many important, and certainly formerly financial institutions with great reputations, and including Bain and Bain Consulting, which I'm very familiar with, being a Bain and being a fake Bain as far as my connection with those two companies are. But let me ask you this. In your future career doing financial planning, are you going to be focusing more on real-world clients, or are you going to be looking for clients among the friends you've met on the web?
You don't know
the answer, do you?
No, I do know the answer, and it goes back to the cynicalness of the Pernice Brothers song. I will probably be focusing on real-life people.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, one of the things about it, there's some advantages there to both the client and the planner, and some of them might even involve what we were talking about earlier, the possibility of becoming a little more unplugged.
It's going to be a necessity.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the things that you can tell people, besides where to hide their money so it can never be found, is you can tell them such things like a penny saved is a penny earned. You know, people want to hear those sorts of things, don't you think? The reason I believe that is because people tweet crap like that all day, you know. And so apparently, you know, apparently
yeah,
that's a very
disgusted with those people.
That's a very popular sort of thing to tweet, you know, and
yeah.
whatever Mark Twain said about it, and you know, would be very good. There's another one I think that you could probably say, and that's buy low, sell high, you know, generally.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you disagree. I mean, you're the financial planner. I'm just someone who needs to be planned. So, you know, I suppose that I can get some sort of good friend insider tip sort of thing. You know, not the kind that would send you to prison. Goodness knows, you know, we're not after that. But, you know, just one of those true insider tips like buy low, sell high, you know. You have to admit, that's very insidery, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely not.
I don't get any special treatment. Is that what you're saying? Or you're saying the tip's not insidery? What
the
is it?
The tip's not insidery. But
okay.
Of course, I would give you special treatment.
Well, thank
but,
you.
I'm not going to do anything that'll land me in jail because Martha Stewart's not there anymore. And the likelihood of being in a Massachusetts jurisdiction and being at one of those country clubs in Connecticut is pretty minor.
Yeah, I think so. I just, you know, the truth of the matter is I have no desire to go there. I like to go places, jail, no, not so much so.
No.
But, Emma, thank you so much for coming by today. I have to tell you, this is hard to believe, but it is really the truth. Next week's guest is a very funny woman whose name, and she's a writer, and her name is actually Paige Worthy.
You
just
can't make that stuff up.
No, you cannot make that stuff up. So we're going to be watching as Emma takes the Series 6 exam, and it will be fun to see Pecan's observations on your new career. Emma, you know I adore you, and I have for years now. So thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. You can listen to our replays anytime you please, but it's so much more fun when you're here. So join us again live next Friday afternoon for Women Are Not Funny Radio.